This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray. Woo! We had some breaking news here as we hit record on the podcast. We'll get to it in just a little bit. The Notre Dame Drinky Game will start early today. Just a little heads up there. Our guest will be Brad Powers, college football handicapper. He was on our episode back on May 28th, and we wanted to revisit with Brad, get some thoughts on week zero, which we jump into, a couple of additional best bets from Brad on numbers that are out there currently. And as we always like to play, how many bets does Brad have this offseason? He actually says it's down from last year to this year. So looking forward to that. But the breaking news, as I hit record with Brad just a little while ago, we were in about a minute, and on my list of questions to ask him was about the Notre Dame quarterback competition. Because really, when you looked at the quarterback competitions out there in college football, we had pretty much heard the answer to a lot of them. Julian Sayin had been announced as the starter on Monday for Ohio State. Joey Aguilar got announced as a starter for Tennessee on Monday as well. Ty Simpson last week, we discussed that on the podcast, announced as a starter at Alabama. So things were starting to wrap up from a quarterback competition standpoint, at least amongst the big teams out there. And we've talked so much about the uncertainty at the quarterback position across college football this year. When you look at the futures board, Arch Manning, we knew he'd be the starter. Have some questions there. Ohio State, they named Julian Sayin the starter. A little bit of a competition. We'll discuss that with Brad here a little bit further on. Gunnar Stockton, the starter for Georgia. No surprise there. Ty Simpson wins the job at Alabama. And Notre Dame really was the last one out there to announce their starting quarterback. And there's been a lot of reporting the past week or so regarding this quarterback competition. And let me take you just a little bit back. A quarterback competition that got wrapped up also this week was at Syracuse. Steve Angeli was announced the starter for Syracuse. He transferred out of Notre Dame this spring because of the three-man competition that he was a part of, and he did not finish in the top two. He graduated and moved on, which made some sense. I think all of us expected one of the three quarterbacks to transfer out, and it was either going to be Minchie or Steve Angeli, and ultimately it was Steve Angeli. And then as we got closer and closer to today, the announcement, it seemed like it was trending towards Kenny Minchie being the starter. Different styles of play, Kenny Minchie and CJ Carr. And once again, this is very unlike the NFL. The NFL, we get to see preseason games. We get to see a lot of camp. College is close to the vest. Very little access, especially for these Power Four programs. And when you've got a high-level competition like that, you're just not going to get a whole lot. So the beat reporters, both nationally and locally, are trying to get their sources to give them information. The message boards are going crazy, saying that it's going to be Kenny Minchie. You get reports of turnovers being an issue for CJ Carr during this process. But at the end of the day, Marcus Freeman announces CJ Carr is going to be the starter. We have not heard from Marcus Freeman. I don't know if we will hear from Marcus Freeman until game week. But the quote that he said on Sunday was, quote, "It'll be my decision. I'm not passing this along to anybody else," end quote. So as much as he relies on his coaching staff, which is a very highly paid coaching staff, Mike Denbrock, I believe Andy Staples put out a ranking of his top offensive coordinators. He put Denbrock at number two. Of course, Denbrock was the offensive coordinator for Jaden Daniels down at LSU when he won the Heisman Trophy, came to Notre Dame a year ago. I thought ultimately, just based off of reporting, it would be Kenny Minchie being the starter down at Miami. But it's going to be CJ Carr. What do we know about CJ Carr? Well, we know that his grandfather, was the head coach of Michigan for many, many years. He was a highly touted recruit, a top 50 recruit, according to 247 Sports in the class of 2024, sixth best quarterback in that class. The top quarterbacks in that class, if you're wondering, DJ Lagway was number one, Dylan Raiola, number two, Julian Sayin, number three, CJ Carr, according to 247 Sports, back in 2024, the sixth best quarterback in that class. The thing that jumps out to me regarding CJ Carr and what we've heard from some of the small glimpses we've seen from him in open practices is that he has proven to be, or I guess not proven to be, has the potential to be an elite passer. But the question, and I said this about Alabama, and yes, Jam Miller getting hurt, not ideal for the bets we put in last week on Alabama to make the playoff and the cross-sport parlay with the Bills, who went out and got absolutely curb-stomped by the Bears in the preseason. Not ideal. But what I said about Ty Simpson, I think it's similar with CJ Carr. If you don't turn the ball over, and if he hits, I do think Notre Dame has national championship potential. One of the first bets we made on this podcast, it was actually back in late May when Brad was on the program, was Notre Dame 30-1 to win the title. At the current price, I don't think there's any value on Notre Dame. And I think, as Brad will tell you, there might be some Miami money coming at some point here on the home dog in week one, which makes some sense with an unproven quarterback. But the roster that Notre Dame has with an offensive line, even without Charles Jagasaw, that should be a top five offensive line and maybe in the Joe Moore Award discussion, with a running back room that I would say is second best to Penn State. Some would argue 1A, 1B. I'll give Penn State the nod, but still, Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price, some of the reports, Nolan Carroll, the freshman, has been playing very well. And the defense should be loaded. I have some concerns about the interior defensive line. I look at the cornerback position. They add Devontae Smith at nickel from Alabama. I think that was an underrated addition in the transfer portal. Big time hitter. You look at Leonard Moore, elite corner, filling in for Benjamin Morrison a year ago. The safeties, you lose Xavier Watts, but you replace it with Jalen Stroman, Tay-Tay Johnson, the, I believe, junior in Indianapolis, has been making some moves. So I think the defense can be very good. You do lose Al Golden, which is a concern, but you bring in a veteran defensive coordinator. So this all circles back to the common theme on this podcast, because all of these quarterbacks are not going to hit. So as a bettor, you've got to decide what team do you think won't hit at the quarterback position. And then on the flip side, what team will hit at the quarterback position with the unproven commodity? So many of you anticipate, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but anticipate Arch Manning to be a hit at Texas. I think that's certainly a possibility. I think Ed Orgeron was on, pardon my take, talking about what he has heard regarding Arch Manning and how good he can potentially be. Look, the potential is out there. This is what old Ed Orgeron said. I'll say this conservatively, but Arch is as close to, or maybe as good as, Joe Burrow as I've seen. It's a pretty high praise from Joe Burrow's former coach, right? In Ed Orgeron there. So take that for what you will. I've never said that about anybody, is how he wrapped that quote up there on Pardon My Take. So certainly a lot of believers in Arch Manning, and I'm not going to push back on you. Julian Sayin, can he hit? Does he just need to not screw things up? Same goes for Gunnar Stockton, Dante Moore at Oregon, Ty Simpson at Alabama. We'll see, man. There's a lot of fascinating storylines in week one of the college football season. And CJ Carr, based off of the last week of reporting, certainly a little bit surprising. And I, not to get too into the Notre Dame weeds here, but you really hope that this is not a 2016 situation. Now, 2016 was an absolutely catastrophic season. Notre Dame completely went off the rails. They had a quarterback competition with Malik Zaire and DeShone Kizer, even though they shouldn't have had a quarterback competition. You hope that's not the case. I don't think won't be the case, but we will see. The biggest thing I would say Notre Dame lost from a year ago, outside of Riley Leonard's 17 rushing touchdowns, is they had a lot of leaders on that team. They've got a lot of talent on this team, and we'll talk more about that with Brad Powers coming up in just a little bit. But we'll see. I'm not saying I'm upset. This is a bit of a surprise. It's funny how things change. The perception changes. I had kind of wrapped my head around, all right, Kenny Minchie's going to be the starter week one when I'm down there for Notre Dame, Miami. And I wouldn't say I was out on CJ Carr, but the things you had heard about turnovers made you concerned. Is this the old okey-doke for Marcus Freeman? We'll find out in less than 2 weeks. That's the beauty of sports. We'll find out if CJ Carr is ready for the moment, because I tell you what, man, that defensive line that he'll be facing, it ain't no bunch of jabronis over there. That is a loaded defensive line. I still like where we're at from a total standpoint. Probably wouldn't play it. Hate giving out bad numbers, but still like the under in that one. Hey, just a reminder, please rate, review, and subscribe to the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I gotta laugh at one of the latest five-star reviews we got. I won't read the first part because I don't agree with it. As I was called by It's the J-Ho, the GOAT of college football gambling podcasters. I am not. I am far from it. There are a lot of great people out there. Speaking of which, a GOAT is scheduled to come on the podcast later this week. A little tease there. But I mentioned this five-star review because his greatest claim to fame is that Muhlenberg Mule's degree. My wife is a fellow mule, so that connection is good enough for me. All right. A little mule love here. Like to hear it. So shouts to you with the five-star reviews. Thank you so much, though. They continue to flood in. It's much, much appreciated. It really helps out the podcast as we continue to grow this thing. And I know a lot of you guys are excited for the return of our college football schedule. We are going to have the Humans episodes on Thursday. Adam Burke will be back during the week as well. So very much looking forward to another full season ahead with all of you here on the podcast. So yes, we are excited to keep this thing rolling and to once again continue to be a part of your college football life. And as many of you know, we are headed out to Hawaii, and boy, we are excited for that trip. And we've had so many fine folks be a part of building up this trip out to the island as we are heading out there for special editions of VSiN Primetime Friday, August 22nd. That will be at 7 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Hawaii time. And then the College Football Tailgate Show this Saturday, August 23rd, just in time for the games to kick off. We will be on air during Iowa State, Kansas State. It is worth noting that we will be on air during that, but hey, man, to screen it, put down the sound on Iowa State, Kansas State, put up me and Matt Humans, 1 p.m. Eastern time, live from Hawaii, as we'll be up bright and early with you at 7 a.m. Hawaii time. But our trip is brought to you in part by Rainbow Authentics, who's going to be a part of this podcast all year long. Capture the moment, own a piece of history, and support Hawaii athletics, from game-used apparel to autographs and trading cards from your favorite University of Hawaii student-athletes. Rainbow Authentics has you covered, and with their custom gear, you'll be looking your best every game day. Rooted in community, built on excellence, powered by you. Rainbow Authentics is supporting Hawaii athletics by empowering student-athletes and coaches, giving back to the community, and embracing their local roots with pride, supporting athletes, strengthening communities, empowering coaches. Shop now, rainbowauthentics.com, and bring home a real piece of the action. Once again, that website, rainbowauthentics.com. And I will say, I've got myself a Rainbow Authentics trucker hat. It is awesome. And many people have asked me, hey, where'd you get that hat? rainbowauthentics.com. So check it out, as we are excited to be partnered up with Rainbow Authentics for our trip out to Hawaii and as well as we partner with them all season long. All right, quick break. When we come back, Brad Powers, college football handicapper, week zero thoughts, CJ Carr, the starter at Notre Dame, a whole lot to get into, as well as a couple of best bets from Brad, even now, available at a number of national shops.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, as promised, Brad Powers joins us right now. And Brad, a little making of the sausage here. Thankfully, we had not gone too deep into this podcast, but we got some breaking news here on this Tuesday morning as CJ Carr has been named the starter for Notre Dame. And look, you and I know this program very well. We text back and forth, maybe some pessimistic tweets and texts every once in a while. This comes as a bit of a surprise. Everything that had been kind of, I don't want to say leaking, had been reported out of South Bend was that Kenny Minchie had maybe the slight edge over CJ Carr. Is this, I guess it's so fresh. What is your reaction to CJ Carr being named the starter for Notre Dame?
So, wow. You know, if you'd asked me 3 months ago, I was like, of course he's the starter. I mean, coming out of spring, I thought, you know, I would have said 90%+ chance CJ Carr is the starter. But everything I've read so far about fall camp is hasn't performed well. Lots of turnovers consistently, starting with practice number one, even leading into their last big scrimmage they had on Sunday, forcing the ball. And to me, The job of this year's Notre Dame quarterback is just to get out of the way. Doesn't have to be a Heisman caliber quarterback. Just distribute the ball. Don't give the ball to the opposing team. Take care of it. Don't get them beat because there's enough talent at wide receiver. Obviously, running back with Jeremiah Love and the backups there. I'm big on Eli Raritan. I think the offensive line is top five in the country, provided they continue to hopefully stay healthy. If he's turning over a lot, I mean, that's just the thing you can't do. And Kenny Minchie, also the other quarterback in the mix, you know, gives him a little bit of a run threat. If you follow the OC, Mike Denbrock, the last few years, he's had him that mobile quarterback with obviously Desmond Ridder, Jayden Daniels at LSU, and then even obviously the last year with Riley Leonard. So I was thinking that Kenny Minchie was, I heard the same thing you did. Kenny Minchie was going to be the starter. You know, I follow it closely. I follow it every day. And here we are, CJ Carr. I do think this, though, CJ Carr gives him the most upside. I mean, I've seen him a couple spring games in person. You know, he can put the ball in spots where I haven't seen Notre Dame quarterback be able to do that, any of the Notre Dame quarterbacks in the last 15 years. So provided he is not a turnover machine, you know, this is the guy that we've been pointing towards if you're a Notre Dame fan for 3+ years, even though he's only a true sophomore because he committed so early in his high school career.
I'm so fascinated, and not that it matters as a better, as, you know, answers go. I'm just so fascinated to know the response of the fan base, Brad, because you and I, look, we're guilty of it. We look at the message boards. I don't post on the message boards, but I read them. I'm curious because all the talk that was out there, the report that Menchie was leading, it felt like the fan base had kind of maybe accepted the fact that Kenny Minchie would be the starter, even though CJ Carr, as you alluded to, gives him the most upside. But look, Marcus Freeman said it on Sunday afternoon at the press conference. He said, we've got the best coaching staff in the country, but this is going to be my decision. So this is Marcus Freeman, and this was his guy, right? He went out and he got a highly touted quarterback prospect in CJ Carr. I don't think he would do this because I would say past moves would tell us he just puts the best players out there. I hope this isn't, we're doing this because he gives us the best chance for the future. This roster, and you alluded to it, this roster is too good to play for the future, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. You know me. I get more grief for being a negative Notre Dame fan than anything. This is the best roster they've had in 30+ years. I mean, especially on defense. Notre Dame's second string defense is better than a lot of their first string defenses over the last 30 years. That's how deep this roster is. And I just, it's tough, you know, playing for the future where your two toughest games by far of the season are games one and two. So hence I go back to just, I mean, you can't be turning the football over early. You almost have to, I mean, I know I'd play it safe. I mean, that's just how I would be, at least early on. And then however the rest of the season plays out, it plays out. I mean, we're not talking 11-game seasons anymore. We're talking Notre Dame played 16 games. So I'm just surprised. I know you have relationships with a lot of the beat reporters on Notre Dame.
I'll just say this.
They leave some to be desired is all I'll say, so I don't get you in trouble. I just can't believe that nobody had Carr here in the last three, four days.
No, and I got two text messages from different folks who followed the team pretty closely. One was, wow, and I think it was more of a, we thought it would be Kenny Minchie, and another was shocked. So, you know, I know a podcast that you and I both listen to, Irish Illustrated, those guys are as piped in and plugged into that program. And all of them, they didn't say it was going to happen, but they all said Minchie was the leader. So who knows what happened ultimately? Was this a bit of an okey-doke? I don't know. But when you look at the week one game, and I know you and I are of the same mindset, and we were fortunate enough to get a better number. The market has moved, and I think you might have had something to do with it, not me. Right now, the total sits at 50, 49.5 at Circa, and DraftKings spread is 2.5 in favor of the Irish. Spinning this ahead to about 2 weeks from now down in South Beach, where I know you had a very ominous tweet recently regarding Notre Dame's success or lack thereof against the Canes on the road. What do you make of this week one game between Notre Dame and Miami?
Yeah, love my under position. Still would lean that way. Probably would prefer a current more first half under than anything. Again, I just, you know, it's four things for me that led me to the under. What was, I'm not buying Carson Beck and his wide receivers in game one against Notre Dame secondary. So that says under to me. I do think Miami's defense is going to be improved. So under there. I think Notre Dame's defense is the most proven commodity of all the, you know, the each unit on both teams by far. So that says under. And then Notre Dame with a new quarterback, hopefully, you know, I don't see them at least throwing it 30, 40 times. I can tell you that. So let's lean on the offensive line in the ground game. So that's why I was on under. More importantly, though, because people aren't, you know, tuning in for a total pick. They want the side. I am hearing whispers that Miami money's coming from multitude of people. So I would say I don't think it's going to three. If you want to bet Miami, you're not losing any key numbers here. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised this one closes closer to pick.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And you've got a freshman quarterback, or not a freshman quarterback, a quarterback making his first career start. And now that we know it's CJ Carr, and whatever you think about Carson Beck, he is making his 27th or 28th career start. When you look at Miami, I am curious because I spent some time on my Sunday show talking about this Miami team. I think their biggest question, you pointed it out, they're remaking this entire wide receiver room. Offensive line should be good. Defensive line should be good. Corey Heatherman comes in as a replacement there for the defense, which they desperately needed. It's been an offseason of Clemson love. And look, I'm guilty of it. I bet them to win the conference. It was my first bet of the offseason at plus 140 back in May. Is Miami undervalued at 4-1 to win the ACC right now?
I made that bet.
Okay.
Right in that similar number, that range. I do think they're the second best team in this conference. I thought Clemson originally was undervalued. Now I'm at the point where maybe they're a little bit too overvalued in a lot of markets at this point. I've been pretty pro Miami, even though I'm not a big crystal ball guy. I bet over the win total early, bet them in this week one game against Notre Dame, obviously number no longer available, but, if Carson Beck is healthy and the wide receivers are a hit, there's just no excuse why this team, when you look at the schedule, I mean, it's not the easiest schedule because they do play Notre Dame and Florida in the non-con, but the reality is both of those are at home. They should at least win one of those. And then conference action, they should be a favorite in a majority of the games. So this minimum is a 9-win Miami team, if not a 10-win team. But the problem is Cristobal's always good to lose a game or two. He has no business, you know, losing. So That kind of tepids the expectations a little bit, but man, on paper, this is Cristobal's most balanced and best team. It won't be his best offense after last year's offense, but I definitely think they're going to be much improved defensively.
You know, we don't get to see a ton of film of practices, unfortunately, and you've even pointed out we don't really get spring games anymore. You used to spend your entire spring watching as many games as possible, and teams don't want to do it anymore, whether it's because of the portal or whatever, we're not really getting it. So we get quotes, and Shannon Dawson, offensive coordinator, I'm not going to buy it, but boy, was he singing the praises of Carson Beck, saying that he thinks he's got a number one overall pick yet again, talking about how great he has looked. So I'm curious your thoughts on Carson Beck. You just mentioned a little while ago, you're not the biggest Carson Beck guy. He's played a lot of football at a high level. I've referenced it a bunch. We had David Hale on the podcast way back in May, looking at that, blind resume. Where are you on this Carson Beck, on Carson Beck? Because he does seem to be very polarizing, a lot of differing opinions on him as he heads to Miami.
Boy, heading into last year, I was pretty pro Carson Beck. But then last year happened and a few things happened. Obviously, he didn't get good wide receiver play. Georgia led the nation in drops. But he also had a bunch of bad decision-making. He was forcing the issue quite a bit. And then one of the things that I at least have some question marks is that was a serious injury. That's the type of injury that sometimes, similar to what I think Brock Purdy have, you're almost not a little bit the same, at least that following year. So missed spring, didn't have a chance to acclimate himself with the wide receivers at least early on in the offseason. And to me, I just go to this. If Carson Beck's so great, he'd be at two. He wouldn't be at Miami, in my opinion. He'd be one or two places. He'd be in the NFL or he'd be at Georgia. If Georgia really wanted him to stay, he would still be at Georgia, in my opinion. So I don't know if it's the whole draft day thing. Nobody went to his birthday party. but I just I something there. I even saw it. I just recently rewatched the SEC championship game, and Beck gets hurt, the backup comes in, and there's just new life, new blood immediately. I just there, and sometimes you get that with a backup, no matter who it is, but it felt a little bit different. I don't want to say I question his leadership and whatnot, but there's been off the field things there in Miami. I'll just say this: a lot of people that I respect have bet him to win the Heisman and love him in that market. I don't. So, but we'll get a good idea on that opening Sunday night, because that'll be a pretty good secondary he's up against.
If you want to hear some insight on Carson Beck, go listen to Drew Butler, a former Georgia Bulldog. He was on the show about a month ago. Thought he had some really interesting insight there from a former Georgia Bulldog and someone who covers that team. All right, so we had to restart this podcast, as I mentioned, because the breaking news came out that it would be CJ Carr as the starter. And thankfully, we were only about a couple minutes in. But the question I asked you to start this podcast was, I had you on May 28th, and now here we are on August 19th, Brad. So let's revisit my initial question to you, which was, in about 3 months, what team or teams have you kind of changed your tune on, whether it be you were negative on them, now maybe a little positive, or the flip side, we're thinking positive and then ultimately have turned slightly negative?
Well, there's quite a few teams just because of market prices being different and much different than what they were 3 months ago, 6 months ago. So teams go from numbers do matter. So there's been quite a few teams that I've gone from, undervalued to now expensive. But I would say, more on the field, like I went from being relatively optimistic to now I'm pretty pessimistic. There's one big example for me, and it's what's been happening in fall camp, and it's the Florida Gators. Early on in the process, I bet over 6.5 wins. I just thought, looking at the schedule, it is a very difficult schedule. I thought if last year's team could get the 7, this year's team, in my opinion, is better. They've done a good job recruiting. Lagway in another year under his belt. It has to be 7-5 or Napier's fired. But now, I mean, I have question marks on even if I'm going to cash that over 6.5 win total bet. Now, the win total has actually moved with me, meaning it's went from 6.5 to 7.5. But one of the bigger bets I made recently in the last week was under 7.5 wins on Florida. And, fall camp has not been great on the injury front and a multitude of guys. But most importantly, DJ Lagway hasn't played much all fall camp. Now, they don't play anybody in week one, well, worth the dang, in Long Island, but they do play at LSU. They do play at Miami in the month of September. And but that for a guy that has been banged up throughout his career, even going back to his high school days, every rep matters, and not getting those reps when he was even banged up in the spring too, just screams negative to me. And then if you're already banged up as a football team already, and you got to go through that gauntlet of a schedule where they play seven of my top 20 teams in the country, well, I think 8-4 is a pretty tall order. So under 7.5 wins for me, Florida.
-115 at DraftKings right now. The juice on that, circa -125. FanDuel, I think, was in that -130-ish range there on Florida. So, might have to add another win total here to my running list of win totals. By the way, I always like asking you, where are we at on regular season win totals, Brad?
Over 100. I can tell you my exact account is 212 on every bets, futures, win totals, week one, game of the year. So 212, that's, people are probably, oh, that's a lot. It's actually probably 100 bets less than last year at this time. So I've been a little conservative even for me this offseason. Some of it has to do with I'm limited. I can't get down what I want to get down. So it's a pass for me. And then, believe it or not, I mean, there's way more uncertainty this year. Bill Connelly does returning production, and it's less and less every year. But even from last year to this year, the returning production's down significantly. All the kids that had the extra year of COVID during 2020, they're pretty much all gone. 99% of them are gone now. So there's just way more uncertainty than ever before. And you kind of hit on it as far as the spring games. You know, last decade plus, I've been watching 50-plus spring games every spring, 50-plus spring games. And at least I can see it a little bit. I don't treat, the leading rusher in the game, oh, my God, this is going to be, the starter type of thing. But I like seeing guys throw the football a little bit. And I feel like I get a better read just watching 2 hours. It's kind of a cheat sheet for me, Cliff Notes. And I only was able to watch 13 spring games. They just weren't televised. It wasn't me being lazy. Nobody wanted to televise it this year. So there's even more uncertainty there for me than usual. So I'm down more than, my bet count.
Yeah, we talked to Bill Connelly last week, and I thought the quote that jumped out to me the most from Bill was regarding Clemson, where he felt like, to your point, market's probably gotten a little too overzealous on Clemson. And he said, yes, they're number one in returning production, but in recent years, that would have been, around 10th best in the country. So to your point, the returning production certainly is down. The unfortunate part of preseason camp, obviously, is injuries. And I was sitting on VSiN Saturday morning after spending a long time talking about a best bet of mine with the Alabama Crimson Tide to make the playoff at -180. And I also got a little creative and, did a cross sport parlay here, Brad. But Jam Miller out for a little bit of time here with the dislocated collarbone. I think the hope is that he's back for the September 27th game against Georgia. Does this change anything in your eyes with Alabama? And then where are you on this Alabama team?
No, it doesn't. Running back's a devalued position, generally speaking. This isn't 1980s, Bo Jackson, Herschel Walker, they're going to be running it 35, 40 times. So it didn't move the needle for me. Not that Jam Miller is a good running back, but it's, not a top five running back in college football. And if you don't believe me, the market didn't react as far as win total or, more pertinently would be, the game against Florida State market didn't move. So not a factor. It would be a factor if this next running back up gets hurt, especially when you got a younger quarterback with inexperience, that if you can't lean on the ground game a little bit, and you got to rely on him to throw the ball more. That then I get a little bit worried, but I am still very pro Alabama. But we've talked to two teams that I'm very look to bring it all full circle. So far, what we talked about, I think Clemson, Penn State, and Texas, because of Arch, they're all getting the benefit of the doubt as far as their roster and being priced that way in the markets. If there's two teams that I think one of the two teams, in my opinion, just gut instinct, if the quarterback's a hit, I think they win the national championship, one being Notre Dame, the other being Alabama. Those are the two teams I bet to win the national championship. I just think if one of those two gets good quarterback play, those rosters on those two schools are just as good as Clemson, if not better. I could say the same for Penn State and Texas. So I I like those. I like Alabama quite a bit if Ty Simpson doesn't mess it up.
Yeah, and like I mentioned, you know, last week, I bet them minus 180 to make the playoff. I bet them with the Bills to win the division. So the Bills losing 38-0 to the Bears didn't make me feel awesome in the preseason. But it's just the preseason. We'll see what comes out from Hard Knocks, if anything, to be worried about. But yeah, I'm with you. I have not bet Alabama to win the title, but that was my selection in the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. You know, you've moved away from us. I don't know if it was, you know, my bad body odor or whatever it may be, but you've moved from Vegas onto Ohio. So I got to get your perspective now in your backyard, so to speak. Was it a true competition? Julian Sain, Lincoln Kienholz, you know, Bobby Carpenter on the podcast kind of indicated that, you know, Lincoln's a pretty unique athlete, but were, I don't want to say surprised, but what did you make of, you know, Ohio State and their quarterback competition this fall?
Went longer than expected. I thought coming out of camp, kind of almost similar to Notre Dame, that it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that Julian Sain was going to be the starting quarterback. And, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, it was legit. It was really neck and neck. I do think Sain was better, but he didn't, like, you know, he didn't come in to August and really take it right away. And you're right. Kienholz is a unique athlete, three sport, like all state, South Dakota. I've watched his tape. It's pretty impressive. But you would have liked that, in my opinion, the ideal thing would have been Julian Sain coming in there and just being the guy. Another, you know, great thing about it, we have to wait until the end of September, or October. We're going to find out right away what Julian Sain's all about with Texas. And it's very similar to the Notre Dame Miami game. I have my doubts. Maybe it's me getting older and being more critical, but it's another game where I'm kind of leaning towards a lower scoring big first game.
Yeah, 48 now the total. So that's been on the move from 50.5 at open. So we've seen under money come in on Texas, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Miami as well. That Notre Dame money came in last weekend. So we talked about it last week on the pod, and I was like, you know, I'm thinking about 54.5, it dipped down to 53.5. I'm like, all right, time to go. I don't want to be late to the party here. So I guess I want to get your thoughts on this, because a lot of these numbers have moved. You know, big picture for you as a pro bettor like yourself, Brad, who's been, you know, getting into these numbers since January, essentially, is week one becoming more challenging for, let's just say, the casual bettor? Most people listening to this podcast, as much as I'd love for them to be tuned in day one, August is here, week zero is around the corner. A lot of these numbers have moved. So you look at a game like, I'll just throw this one out there, Toledo, Kentucky. This was 11.5 this offseason. Now it's 7.5. So you've seen a 4-point move. How challenging is it to bet week one, you know, the week of, knowing that people like you and pro bettors out there have kind of already shaped the market on these games?
Yeah, I mean, if you're just a casual and you haven't bet anything yet, I would say be very cautious. Numbers do matter. I'd be cautious playing in this team, because this is a unique week where you don't get much resistance. Once you start getting that one-way action, because you have no new data points, people are afraid to go against the grain a little bit. I'm glad you brought up Toledo, Kentucky, because the only bet I made in the last 24 hours was that game. I faded it. I was contrarian. Got down to 7 in a couple shops. I bet Kentucky -7. It got to the point where, I understand the original move, but now there's been 3 or 4 moves, to say the least, on Toledo. And I'm Mr. Anti-Kentucky. The under win total this year faded them as much as anybody. And my numbers like Toledo full season, win the MAC, everything. Right now they're screaming to bet over their win total. But, boy, when I get all that and my number, when I'm down on a team and high on the team and the numbers, as far as an individual game, go opposite of that, meaning it's showing value on the team that I've been wanting to play against all offseason and value against a team I'm relatively high on, that tells me that this one's moved far too much. So I laid the 7 with Kentucky. And what to do if you're the casual? I will say this. There's 82 games that aren't widely available right now. So I would tell anybody, maybe it doesn't help you this year, but market that's still on tap. It's called FCS. 82 games involving FCS teams on this board are not up yet. So that's kind of what I've been doing the last week plus, diving into that and seeing what, whenever those numbers get popped, I mean, I'll be making quite a few bets there. So there's still bets to be made.
By the way, I will continue to say, I don't know when the number's going to pop out, but circle South Dakota week one, because that is the sandwich spot of sandwich spots. And I think you might know the number off the top of your head. Iowa State under Matt Campbell historically has been dreadful against the spread against FCS teams. You're playing in Ireland, and then next week two is the Cy-Hawk game. So it's your classic situational spot. My question is to you, Brad. I'm sure you don't want to give away the farm. South Dakota normally is a pretty good FCS program, so hopefully we get a juicy number there on that one. But you know, how much do you look at situational spots and history with teams when it comes to those FBS FCS games?
Certainly part of the handicap. Some aren't afraid to pour it on. Others are pretty conservative. You're already looking at schedule aspects. But it really, for me, it just comes to how I've evolved in this industry is it just comes down to my number. I mean, yeah. I can handicap and speculate all I want, but it really comes down to number for me. So, you know, there is a couple books that have that one up, 15.5. I think the spot is kind of priced in a little bit. Mm-hmm. You and I have talked this offseason. South Dakota had a possibility of being preseason number one. They lost several key guys post-spring. And I don't know if I'll say this, in South Dakota will win, and you can get after me. But it's not as good as what I was hoping it to be,
right,
3 months ago.
Yeah. These damn books, man. I tell you, I already yelled at Matt Grill at DraftKings for not giving us a 3 on Hawaii Stanford when they opened that. And I had to settle for, you know, a money line price at +110. I'm happy to get the best of it. But, you know, these silly books are getting good. And it's frustrating, Brad. You know, it's annoying. These guys are good at their jobs, too. All right. Before we dive into maybe a little week zero and some week one thoughts, I almost ask everyone about this conference, and I think you've got a much better number on them than I do. The Big 12, it might be my favorite conference just because of the unpredictable nature. I bet Utah to win the conference at 6-1. I think that number's still out there. I've got a long shot on Devin Dampier to win the Heisman at 100-1. He's the apple of my eye. I love him. I'm excited for him behind that offensive line. He brings in his offensive coordinator. I'll call him the poor man's John Mateer. He's not getting the hype like everybody's giving Mateer. What do you make of the Big 12 this year? And, you know, could we see the worst team? Could we see Oklahoma State or UCF, Brad, make it to the championship game of this conference like we saw last year with ASU?
Well, I hope not, because I have bet both those teams under their win totals. But, I mean, if there's a conference where you could do it, it would be this one, because it's as wide open as any power conference as we've had. Really, maybe even more wide open as last year, at least coming into the season, what we perceive it to be. I'm with you on Utah. Wouldn't be with you at current on both Dampier and Utah's conference future number, but both of those are in pocket. I'll give you, you know, there's a team right now. I don't want to say too much because I think it's getting close to people getting after it and attacking it, but Texas Tech's gotten a lot of love this offseason. I'm pro Texas Tech, bet over their win total, bet them to win the conference. But they are banged up right now. They just lost their starting running back for the season, and there might be some other ones that get announced. I think they're overpriced now officially in the market. So you asked me that first question, you know, what teams are you know, you've changed your opinion on. Kind of Texas Tech's twofold. Number one, they've gotten pricey. Number two, they're banged up a little bit. So that's a team that maybe I'm not as high on. And two teams that are, they haven't gotten a lot of play because people have talked Texas Tech, they talked Baylor, they talked Utah. Some people, I kind of like TCU. But the two teams at the top of the Big 12 haven't gotten a lot of love from people that at least I respect, Arizona State and Kansas State. Right? I still think are the two best teams. I know Arizona State loses Cam Scadaboo, but everybody else is back, and I'm a big believer in Dillingham.
And they brought in the Army kid, right? Udo?
Yeah, Udo.
Kid was a beast.
I will give you something I'm looking at. I don't have any bet yet on week zero, Kansas State, Iowa State right now. But little in the weeds here. It's week zero. A lot of books keep numbers up. They forget to take stuff down. That's a big swing game. So I'll be looking to see what happens win total wise if those books still have something up. But what I'm really looking at is future wise. Whoever wins that game, that's a key swing game right out of the gate between the two top five teams in the conference. Do they change the conference futures price as much? Because I would like to jump in and bet the winner of that game if nothing's really changing.
Okay, something to keep our eyes on. Kansas State, I'm looking at DraftKings. As always, look around, especially the Big 12. You could definitely get different numbers. Kansas State plus 550, Iowa State 11-1. Well, speaking of week zero, let's jump into it. And before we jump into that with Brad, just a reminder, we're hitting the road and we're going to paradise, baby. We'll be broadcasting live from Hawaii with special editions of VSiN Primetime on Friday, this Friday, the 22nd, as well as our college football tailgate show on Saturday, August 23rd. That'll be at 1 p.m. Eastern. And our coverage from Hawaii is presented in part by Kahala, the original Aloha shirt brand founded in Honolulu in 1936 and proudly celebrating its 90th anniversary next year. Kahala is also a proud supporter of University of Hawaii Athletics, and most of their iconic Aloha shirts are made right in Hawaii. So shop online at kahala.com or visit one of their six stores the next time you head to Hawaii. And the latest drops and designs, you could follow them on Instagram at KAHALA. So don't miss our shows live from the islands, brought to you in part by our friends at Kahala. I'll be wearing one of the Kahala shirts on Friday and Saturday. Very much looking forward to that. All right, Brad, four games on the week zero schedule, and it starts with that top 25 showdown between Iowa State and Kansas State over at Aviva Stadium. And last year we saw a team in Georgia Tech pull an upset over at Aviva Stadium. Right now, market sits at 3, total 49.5. What do your numbers say regarding Farmageddon in Dublin?
Yeah, numbers say it's a pretty good number. And we haven't seen too much movement other than the 3.5s getting taken out from time to time this offseason. If neither moves, side or total, don't expect to be involved, at least pre-flop. If a 3.5 becomes available and I'm sitting there before kickoff and I'm no different than Joe Q Public, sometimes I like to have action on something. But that's the only thing that would get me to, a small bet to the window would be a 3.5 on Iowa State. But it's a really good, people are going to roll their eyes at this. It's a really good data point to get an idea of these two teams for the season. So I'm thankful that we're getting a matchup like that.
Yeah, the one thing, and I don't really mess with props. I saw Avery Johnson anytime touchdown plus 110. I'm like, I could see him with those lovely locks flowing in the Dublin air, getting into the end zone. I think he had 7 rushing touchdowns a year ago. We've got 3 other FBS versus FBS games. And one that we've seen big move, and when I was talking to Matt Grill from DraftKings and they put up these openers, I want to say back in May, the early move was to Western Kentucky, and we saw more Western Kentucky money come in today as we're recording. So right now, market sits with the Hilltoppers laying 10.5. Open was 7.5, total 62. What do you expect from these two teams this year, and has this number gone too far now that it's 10.5?
Yeah, I haven't got to the window yet, but right now I would be more inclined to fade both moves, side and total. Favorite and over got hit today within the hour of us recording this. But at 10.5, that would scream small bet Sam Houston State. Now it's a first year coach with an entirely different scheme and a different roster, so that kind of tepids my enthusiasm for betting Sam Houston. But Western Kentucky's also, a big-time roster turnover, although I kind of like, what they brought over from the FCS, both coordinator and quarterback. It's worked for them in the past, and I think it'll work for them this year. But 62.5 is a lot to ask. I mean, if this was, last year with these two teams, we'd be sitting in a total in the upper 40. So I do think, the schematic changes for both teams is priced in and then some. But right now, if you had to make a bet, Sam Houston plus 10.5 for me.
Real quickly, because I can go anywhere with you, we had Adam Burke on, and one of his favorite plays was Liberty to win CUSA. Western Kentucky, I would imagine, is the second best team in that conference based off of your power ratings. I don't have them in front of me, but Liberty, if you could still find a plus price, and I know DraftKings had moved a little bit under the plus price to minus 110, I'm doing live look right now. Liberty plus 120 at FanDuel. Is Liberty the best team in that conference? And do they bounce back after a really disappointing year a season ago?
Yeah, not only the best team in the conference, but by a margin enough where that's a good, really good bet, in my opinion. I've given it out. So, it's not like I'm giving out. I said I made 200 bets, but I only give out like 15. That's one of the bets I've given out, was Liberty to win Conference USA. So love that bet quite a bit. I think they had some locker room issues last year. I mean, if you don't believe me, Jamie Chadwell has come out and said it, one of his press conferences during fall camp, that they had maybe kind of an issue there, kind of resting on their laurels from a couple seasons back when they made the Fiesta Bowl. Why do you go visit stadiums? Well, I like it personally, but also professionally, I like getting an idea of infrastructure of colleges. And yeah, not all group of five schools are the same. You go down to Liberty's campus, they got a lot different budget there than they do a lot of the other teams in Conference USA. So provided they don't have significant injuries or another locker room problem, they're winning Conference USA this year.
Yeah, and it's another situation, right, Brad, where even if you hate the bet, it would be surprising if they don't make it to CUSH Championship. And then you're sitting with a plus 120 ticket. You're going to have an underdog on the other side if you want to try to middle it, if you just want to get off. So,
weeds, they get, that's a conference where you play a home game. So, right. I mean.
And Western Kentucky, who I would imagine, are they the second best team in the conference?
They are. Yep.
And they don't play them in the regular season.
Yep.
So, all right, two other games, week zero, Fresno State, Kansas. We had my guy step on a duck, Joshua Nunn, on the pod. He liked Fresno plus 14. That is now off the key of 14 down to 13. Curious your numbers on this. Another situation, right? New head coach, Matt Entz, new quarterback. They announced it will be EJ Warner, making his, third stop in his collegiate career there. And then we've got Kansas, who has become a pretty solid program under Lance Leipold here. Daniels is back for another season. What are your numbers spit out for Fresno, Kansas on Saturday night?
I understand the original move on Fresno when it was north of two touchdowns, but right now I'm going to be contrarian. I like Kansas. And in fact, if I had to make one bet now on the week zero board, sides or totals, at least of the four games, FBS versus FBS, Kansas side would be at minus 12.5 would be my bet. In fact, I talk about great bets I made. I bet this game at a worse number. I thought 13.5 was going to be the best I'd see. Well, I was wrong. The Fresno money continues to come in. So why am I off compared to everybody else? Well, number one, I'm not a big Matt Entz guy. I know he won a couple of titles at North Dakota State, but you and I could coach that program to a couple FCS titles. And what gets me is they struggle a little bit his last couple of years, and that he leaves, and North Dakota State last year got better. So I'm not buying him. I am buying Kansas having a really good home crowd. And keep in mind, they renovated this. It's like a new stadium. I think it's going to be a sellout. They're going to be excited. I am buying Lance Leipold, like a great coach, not buying Kansas's win total this year, I bet under. But when my numbers, again, very anti-Kansas for the season, but all of a sudden in this individual game, they're very pro-Kansas. That tells me there's maybe a little bit too much market move here, so Kansas for me.
Lastly, Brad, the game I will be in attendance at, and hopefully I will be very happy leaving Ching Complex on Saturday night. Hawaii opened a 2.5-point dog at DraftKings. I anticipated a move. I didn't think it would move this much. We have not seen that buyback. Maybe we'll see it at some point. Stanford, I would imagine, one of the massive unknowns in your eyes heading into this year. And there's a lot of excitement out there on the islands regarding this Hawaii team. They bring back 9 starters on defense. I know Micah Elejado gets Timmy Chang very excited. They're going to be wearing all white in that Saturday night game, which should be a fun visual effect there. But total sits at 50.5 out there at DraftKings. So a little under money has come in, and a lot of Hawaii money has come in, obviously flipping this to them being the favorite. What are your numbers right now on Stanford, Hawaii?
Yeah, I haven't. Another game I haven't bet yet. Yeah. Understand the original. Well, there's been a lot of moves on the under. In fact, it got popped again today on the under. I get it, but it's tough for me to. When I've seen Alejado play, and I know it was against a bad New Mexico defense, but he lit it up to say the least. And you're right. Stanford's a big time unknown. Thought was going to be pro Stanford. I mean, I bet the win total before spring. And since then, they lose their head coach, Troy Taylor, lost to a couple of their key players, including their best defensive player, Bailey, to the portal. So, yeah, I've certainly had to go in there, manually downgrade Stanford and a lot of my power ratings. With that being said, numbers matter. I would be looking for a Stanford plus +3. That's where I'm going to go as far as getting a bet down on the game.
How do you evaluate a team like Stanford? Ben Gulbranson's going to be their starter at quarterback. He's been playing college football since I think I was in college, like 20 years ago. the fun fact about Ben Gulbranson, I've done two of his games, Brad, believe it or not. I was the sideline reporter for Oregon State, Florida in the Vegas Bowl. And then I was the sideline reporter for Notre Dame, Oregon State in the Sun Bowl, two games he started. And then I'll be out there watching his debut with the Stanford Cardinal. But you alluded to it, man. They lost a ton. It feels like this is a full-on reset. So when you look at this Stanford program, everything they've been through, how do you evaluate this team heading into 2025?
Well, originally I was pretty pro Stanford. I thought they'd finally make a little bit of a jump. I mean, they've basically been stuck on 3-9 here for several years. Win total's 3.5 with the under big time juice now. So, I mean, expecting more of the same. I don't know, because you got a GM in Andrew Luck, and it's one of those GMs where, you know, he's just as much in control of that program as anybody. He brings in his guy, Frank Reich. We'll see who they end up hiring permanently after this season. It feels like another kind of wasted season for them. I thought that they had, at least at the start of spring, so a lot of returning production. I thought they were going to be a lot more competitive. They're in the wrong conference. I hate the fact that they're traveling across the country. I don't know if there's a program that's fallen more flat on their faces compared to what they were for almost a decade under Harbaugh and Shaw, compared to what they've been the last 3-4 years in Stanford. So, and I don't see the fix, at least right now.
All right, I'll wrap with this. I don't know why this just came to my mind, but I'm curious your thoughts on this Week 1 game. It'll be the appetizer before Notre Dame-Miami. South Carolina and Virginia Tech. Is there any chance this is the ultimate buy low, sell high game? And what I mean by that is last offseason, Brad, there was a ton of hype. I'll be honest, I'll raise my hand. I took a Kyren Drones 100-1 Heisman ticket. That was dead Week 1 when they lost to Vanderbilt. And now you've got all this preseason hype on South Carolina. Is this a buy low spot potentially, or a sell high on South Carolina, buy low Virginia Tech on, or a sell high on South Carolina?
I don't like either team this year. I bet both under. I don't like Virginia Tech. Brent Pry had everything going for him last offseason and came up short miserably. Both quarterbacks for them were banged up in the spring. Didn't like that. There's some, you know, they had some coaching turnover yet again. He's 1-12 the last 3 years in games decided by one possession. And to me, it's not bad luck. It's bad coaching. I've seen it consistently. You're right on South Carolina. I'm pretty, you know, the market, you know, at least, you know, the Joe Q public loves South Carolina. The market, the Vegas market, say different, including this game where it's went from 9.5 down to, you know, the Pinnacle showing a seven with -116. That's the first time I've seen that this offseason. I haven't bet it yet because I don't like either team. It's going to be another one. It's going to sound like a broken record where, ooh, even though I'm down, really down on South Carolina, and I have bet more on South Carolina's under than any win total bet I made, and I made 100 of them. I bet more on South Carolina under than any. But now if it gets to seven, now all of a sudden it's my numbers are saying South Carolina's worth a bet. So that's kind of where I'm at on that game.
You can check out Brad at BradPower7 on social media. You can catch him on a number of forums, including Hit the Books and that program every Monday and Friday. Brad, you know I always love catching up with you. I'm sure we'll be texting plenty, very angrily or maybe shockingly positive. We'll see. Week 1 with CJ Carr being announced the starter of the Irish. Always appreciate it, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Thanks again to Brad for jumping on the podcast. As always, follow him at BradPowers7. Thanks to all of you. The offseason is almost done. Once again, we are going to be headed out to Hawaii. Wheels up on Thursday morning. We'll have shows Friday live from the Hawaii Stadium. Some great guests lined up, including head coach of Hawaii, Timmy Chang, as well as many others. So join us for a very special broadcast out there in Hawaii at 7 p.m. Eastern, a special edition of VSiN Primetime. And then we'll do two shows out there in Hawaii, 1 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday. So once again, during the Iowa State-Kansas State game, we will be doing a full season preview. Myself, Matt Humans, we will be doing that out there on the island. And I'll get that put on this podcast feed as well. So we'll make sure to put that on this podcast feed as well, live from Hawaii. And we've had so many great partners help us put this together, and none bigger than Nahaku and Steve Bookatz and his team. Thank you for being a part of this trip. And they are the presenting sponsor of this trip. So Nahaku, Hawaii's finest jewelers, proudly sharing the spirit of Aloha since 1924. Discover an incomparable collection of Hawaiian and island lifestyle jewelry featuring unique designs crafted by Hawaiian gold, pearls, and rare gemstones. Nahaku's timeless pieces capture the beauty, tradition, and spirit of the islands, perfect for a special gift or personal keepsake. You could visit one of their many locations across Hawaii as well as on the mainland. So check them out online, nahaku.com. That's Nahoku. You don't miss us from the islands, brought to you by Nahaku here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Another piece of housekeeping, just a reminder, we've got a great special going on over at VSiN.com. Adam Burke discussed it when he jumped on the podcast last week, as we have an introductory offer for all of you that are new to VSiN. You could check us out. $9.99, you would get our VSiN college football betting podcast. Well, the betting podcast is free. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide, the NFL Betting Guide, as well as all of our picks for a month. So check it out. It's an introductory offer. If you don't like what we have, well, at least you get your guides and everything else for a month for $9.99. So head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe, including betting splits. And I know that's something that people certainly love to check out, our betting splits over at VSiN.com. All right. I wanted to just wrap here, just kind of sum it up. Brad Powers, a couple of best bets that he noted and that are still available, and I actually tailed him on one of these. Florida under 7.5 wins. Market right now at DraftKings is -115 to the under, and I believe that's moved a little bit down. And what Brad mentioned is, you know, this is a market that has moved up from 6.5 now to 7.5, and now maybe it's gone a little bit too far, some uncertainty there. Some metrics have Florida's schedule as the most difficult in all of college football this year. Remember, they had a very challenging schedule a year ago. I joked on this podcast, if they got to bowl eligibility, that Sunbelt Billy should be coach of the year. Well, they did get to bowl eligibility. They won 7 regular season games a year ago, but their schedule, if you don't have it up in front of you, LIU, ooh, be worried about the Sharks. Then it's South Florida, who they'll be a significant favorite over, but still a unique challenge. And then maybe the hardest 3-game stretch in college football this year, at LSU, at Miami, bye week, home to Texas. All three of those teams, preseason top 10 teams. We'll find out much more regarding LSU and Miami in week one when LSU plays Clemson as a 4-point dog on the road. Miami, as we've discussed, 2.5-point home dog. But as Brad pointed out, it might be a little shorter as we get closer to game time. After the Texas game, got to go to College Station, take on Texas A&M. They have Georgia on the schedule, have Ole Miss on the schedule, Tennessee wrap up with Florida State. Now, I will say the good fortune is that this Florida team does face the two perceived weakest teams in the SEC, in Mississippi State and Kentucky, but got to get to 8 wins this year in order to cash that win total, right? So we'll see what Florida State is this year. They could be a team that could potentially fall apart towards the end of the year. So under 7.5, a best bet for Brad, -115, best juice that I saw at DraftKings. And also worth noting, Liberty to win Conference USA. This was a best bet from Adam Burke in our VSiN College Football Betting Guide. I tailed Adam on this bet, and you can get a pretty good number on the Liberty Flames plus 120 at FanDuel to win the conference. So a couple of best bets there, courtesy of Brad Powers. And once again, some of the numbers have moved. He did like under in Texas and Ohio State. That number has moved off of where he bet it. We discussed it last week on the podcast, gave it out on VSiN's weekend morning line just 9 or 10 days ago. The under in Notre Dame, Miami still would lean under there, but don't want to race to bet an under when that number has moved 4 points from where it was at 53.5 just a little while ago. But it's been an awesome offseason. Excited for the podcast later this week. Hoping to secure that guest. I won't mention it, but very excited about the guest that is scheduled to jump on the podcast later this week. And once again, give us some love while we're out in the islands. Tune in on Friday night and on Saturday afternoon. Very excited for our trip out there to Hawaii. And hopefully our guy, Timmy Chang, and the Rainbow Warriors can give us a victory in week 0. And we can cash that money line ticket that we discussed way back early in the summer. All right, that's going to do it for this podcast. Thanks, as always, to Ryan, my producer, for putting this all together. And we will have one more podcast for you later this week before we depart for the islands and Hawaii. All right, that's going to do it. Please, once again, rate, review, and subscribe. Continue that momentum here in this offseason as we build into the college football season. Once again, a reminder, we will have 3 episodes every week for you starting next week when the college football season is ready to go. I'm Tim Murray. We'll talk to you later this week right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.